Thank you, Mrs. Garner. And it is a delight to have Brother Jim Brown, one of our guest speakers this week in stewardship. I hope you'll get what these preachers are saying. And I hope you'll understand that we're not having a stewardship conference because God needs your money. We're having a stewardship conference to teach you the principles so you can get in on God's blessings. We want God to bless us, but most of us are not doing the things that put us in the place of being blessable. We want Him to compromise His word. Learn from these men as they preach. They've been such a blessing to me down through the years and to our church. Brother Brown, thank you for coming. You listen on purpose.
I'm glad to be here tonight. Even if I have been running around with him all day, I'm still glad to be here tonight, amen. And we've had a good time, enjoyed the fellowship. If you got a Bible, go with me to the book of 1 Timothy, and we'll go to the very last chapter there, chapter number 6, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Now, I enjoyed getting to speak in chapel today and getting to teach one of the classes and just had an enjoyable time with the students and with all the things that went on there, and then got to eat lunch with the preacher. And so I've enjoyed the day and appreciate all the kind things always that are done. Glad you're here tonight, amen. Thank you for coming, and I trust that God will speak to our hearts. I'll tell you how I learned when I was very, very young to tithe. As far as I know, I've never made a dollar I hadn't given God a tithe off of. But I learned giving later. You know, tithing is not giving. I said tithing is not giving. Tithing is just paying an honest debt, amen? And I believe folks ought to pay their honest debts. Don't you, Brother Davis? Don't you believe folks ought to pay their honest debts? Y'all pray for Brother Davis. He took us out to eat last night. And they rejected his credit card, amen? So kind of got bad there before it got better. I mean, I don't know exactly what happened. He said something about maybe he wasn't getting paid enough. I don't know exactly what he meant, but that isn't exactly the way it happened. But anyway, that's the way I enjoyed telling it. So we had a good time. And I will tell you this, if Brother Todd tries to tell you anything about when we ate together, well, that's pretty much a lie, okay? You can just take that to the bank, okay? We're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you found your place, you're able to stand with me, please, in honor of the reading word of God. We'll begin in verse number 17. Paul writing to young Timothy and giving him instructions, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Boy, I like that. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. We'll leave off reading there. Ask the Lord to bless tonight. Father, we thank you for the time together with your people. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would guide and direct as we try to teach the Bible and preach the Bible tonight. Lord, we know it's true, and we know that it's inerrant. We know that it's infallible. But, Lord, it doesn't mean a lot unless we can apply it to our lives. And so I pray tonight that you'd help me that I might be able to deliver the message in such a way that folks could get it and understand it, and it'd be a help to them. Now, thank you for loving us. Ask you to bless in all things that are done tonight. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try to just kind of run through this and more or less give you an outline of it rather than spend a lot of time on it. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I learned years ago, or tried to learn, I was exposed to it, that if I did what God said, then God blessed me. I said, if I did what God said, God blessed me. Now, you forgive me. I know people judge us, and people say, well, you're just doing it for this reason, or you're just doing it for that reason. Whenever I first started pastoring and trying to run buses and pick people up and all that kind of stuff, people said, well, you're just trying to build this for you, or you're trying to do this and that and the other. Now, all of us ought to always look at our motives. But can I tell you, other people don't know what your motives are. And you forgive me if I found out something that works. And I got excited about the fact that it worked. Because you see, giving works. The Bible's very, very clear. Given it shall be given unto you. Amen. And so tonight, we're going to look at it a little bit differently, maybe. And I'm sure a preacher will come, Brother House will come just a little bit and give us some good things. But you look at the verse with me. In verse number 17, charge them that are rich, pardon me, charge them that are rich in this world. Now, that's where we kind of have to begin, okay? Because if you don't start here, you're going to think I'm talking to somebody else. Them that are rich in this world. Now, some of you sitting there saying, well, that's not me. I'm not rich. Well, did you have to worry about something to eat today? Most of you have somewhere to stay tonight. Did you know the majority of the world is trying to get a handful of rice together so they can stay alive? Now, I'm not kidding. That's the way the majority of the world is living. Now, you and I don't live that way. You and I have to watch not eat too much. They have to try to get enough to eat. Amen. My daughter, Amanda, was about 5 or 6 years, I guess 6, maybe going to first grade. And one day she came home from school, and she was all excited. She said, Dad, and she started telling me about some folks in our church. A fellow was an engineer out at International Paper Company, and his wife was a nurse. And as they... as she talked to me, she started telling me about where they lived and what they had and all the things they had. And in the middle of her conversation, she said, you know, Daddy, they're rich. And that concerned me. And so as soon as she got through talking, I may have even interrupted her. I don't know. You know how daddies are. We do that sometimes. And I started telling her, I said, well, honey, I said, you know, God's blessed us and we have. And I started telling her about what God had done for us. And right in the middle of it, her eyes got real big, and she said, oh, Daddy, I know, said, we're rich too. And she's right, we are. I said, she's right, we are. Now, as far as this world's goods, we are rich. Americans are very, very rich, okay? So I want you to understand who we're talking to, okay? Ye that are rich in this world's goods, because he's given instruction about how we're to live and what we're to do. Notice, first of all, our attitude that is supposed to be dealt with here. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Now, there are two negative things that we're not to do. Number one, we're not to be high-minded. You know, I know a lot of people who think that their talent and their abilities or their good looks or their finances, and I don't want you to misunderstand. I believe in the earth work ethic. I believe that a man that won't work is worse than infidel, denied the faith, and I believe all of that, okay? But I also believe that I know a whole lot of people work a whole lot harder than you do and have nothing. Amen. Yes, I do. Now, you ladies left your fans home, or you men left your amens home, but it doesn't change it. Still have a Bible, okay? And you and I have to understand that we're not to be high-minded about what we have. We're to be grateful, we're to be appreciative, but God will not tolerate pride nor high-mindedness in us just because he's blessed us. And so you've got to understand that riches, as we experience them today, are not something that we're to lift ourselves up with. Bible says we are not to be high-minded, and it says we are not to trust in uncertain riches. Uncertain riches. Back when 9/11 happened, I knew one man that lost $9 million. Now, that's what he said, or what they said. They said he lost $9 million. I watched them interview him, and they said, well, how do you feel? He said, I feel fine. They said, you lost $9 million. He said, I just lost a bunch of paper. And the people sitting there talking to him said, what do you mean? Said, you lost $9 million. He said, I didn't lose anything. He said, I still got a house, still got a wife, still got children. He said, I still got a place to live, still got plenty to eat. He said, I ain't lost anything. He said, everything that you say I lost, I made. He said, I didn't come here with it. Come on, somebody act like you understand. I watched them interview a woman down after Katrina, and they had her on the TV live, and they were interviewing her. And they said, well, ma'am, you lost your business, and you lost your home, and your children all lost their homes. And the lady stood there, and she said, yes, but we're just thankful to God. She said, for 2 days, we thought we'd lost two of our children. Said, all four of our children are alive. We can rebuild a house. We can rebuild a business. She said, we're just thanking God that all of our children are alive. They got off her real quick and went to somebody that was griping and complaining. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did you know that our forefathers had enough sense to put on our money in God we trust? You know why they put that on there? Because they knew we'd get to trust in that stuff. Now, the Bible's very clear here. Our attitude toward riches are very simple. Number one, we're not to be high-minded. Number two, we are not to trust in uncertain riches, okay? You've got to come to a place where that you don't trust it. Now, let's find out where our trust is. The Bible says, but in the living God. Now, that's who we're supposed to trust, in the living God. Now, the truth is, nobody else has a living God but Christians. The truth is, nobody even claims to have a living God but Christians. You know what they all worship? They all worship some idol. They all worship something. Now, if they have a living God, it's a snake or it's a cow. Come on. But it's not anything that has any power to do anything for them. And yet we have the true and the living God. We have a God that's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a God that bottles our tears. We have a God that knows our frame, that knows what we're made of, and that loves us and that cares about it. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. It's a wonderful thing to have a living God. And you and I have the living God, and that's where our trust is supposed to be. Now, look at our joy. The Bible says in that same verse, he says, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, I know that's a shock to some of your system. Amen. Because you're still on God giving you your needs. Amen. And our Bible says he has given us freely all things for what purpose? To enjoy. Do you know if you're married, you're supposed to be enjoying being married? If you're single, you're supposed to enjoy being single. Amen. Well, he's quiet now too, isn't it? One fellow said, I didn't know what happiness was until I got married, and then it was too late, amen. Well, now the truth is that God has freely given us all things to enjoy. You know, you'd change things if you'd just start enjoying what you have. Amen. You say, well, you don't know what I have. You're right. I don't know what you have, but I know one thing. I know you could enjoy what you have. Have you ever noticed why people are unhappy? Have you ever noticed your children or your grandchildren the day after Christmas? They're not happy. Do you know why they're not happy? It's not because they don't like what they got. It's because they didn't get some other things they wanted. I was 15 years old. My dad and I had spent about 4 days deer hunting down on what we call Big Island, where the Arkansas and White and Mississippi River all come together. It's a big island there. Got deer and got, everything. Hogs, all bear, everything on there. And at 15 years old, I'd got to go. I'd killed two hogs that week. I'd killed a deer that week. Boy, you talk about a wonderful week. It had been a wonderful week. And we had gone in on Sunday night after church. We hunted Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday till noon. And Wednesday at noon, Dad and I were coming out because Dad was pastoring church and he was preaching that night. But my best friend, Paul Johnson, and his dad were staying. They weren't coming back until Friday. And they weren't going out for Wednesday night service. And so Paul said, why don't you talk to your dad and see if you can stay? And said, man, said, we'll kill some hogs and we'll kill some squirrels. We got talking about it. I said, man, that's great. So I went to Dad and I said, Dad, I said, Paul and Uncle R.C. want me to stay and just come out with them Friday. And I said, Paul and I are going to hog hunt some Thursday and Friday. And he said, no, he said, you're going with me. And I said, well, Dad, I said, Uncle R.C. said he'd be sure everything was all right. And I said, he'll take care of me and everything. And he said, no, he said, Jimmy said, you're going with me. Well, my dad wasn't one of those you could talk to real easily. He had not gotten in touch with his feminine side real well. And so he just, I told the crowd the other night, they said about that feminine side. I married my feminine side. That's the only feminine side I got, I guarantee. Well, I wasn't very happy. I was 15 and I wasn't very happy. And so we loaded the deer in the back of a Jeep and drove them down and the hogs and took them down to the boat and loaded them in the boat and took the boat across the river and got to the other side and loaded them in another Jeep and started up the sandbar. And Dad said, reach over in that glove box and get those Snickers out of there. Said, I put two of them in there before we came down. And I reached in, got it, handed it to him, and I got mine out. And I wanted him to know I wasn't happy. It ain't no sense in being sullen if everybody doesn't notice. And so I was doing my best to let him know that I wasn't happy. And so as we were driving up the sandbar, he looked over at me as he took a bite of Snickers bar, and he said, you're not very happy, are you? And I said, no, sir, I'm not. I was thrilled he had noticed, amen. And he said, do you know why you're unhappy? I said, yes, sir. I said, I wanted to stay and hunt with Uncle R.C. and with Paul. I said, I didn't think it hurt for me to spend a couple more days, not. He said, how long have we planned this trip? And I said, sir. He said, how long have we planned this trip? I said, how long have we been talking about this? I said, I don't know. I said, I guess about a year. He said, that's right. He said, we had hoped to get to go deer hunting, hadn't we? And I said, yes, sir. He said, we'd hoped that you could get out of school so you could go and the principal let you out. I said, yes, sir. He said, did you kill a deer? I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, did you kill anything else? I said, I killed a hog. And he said, that's right. He said, now let's see. We planned for a year to go deer hunting, and you got to go deer hunting, and you killed a deer, and you got to kill a hog besides that, and you're unhappy. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but I just hammered you to the wall. Because, see, that's where most of us live, isn't it? Most of us are unhappy, but it's not that we're unhappy with what we have. It's that we're unhappy because we want something else. I mean, you don't want to just not have a car. You just want one better than the one you got. Amen. It's not the fact that you have a roof over your head that you're upset about. It's the fact that it's not the roof you wanted. Come on, smile. I won't know for sure. Some of you, it's not that you don't want a wife. You just would like to have a better one. Or husband, as the case may be. Right or wrong? See, if we're not careful, then we mess this thing of joy up. Because let me show you what God's given us. God has given us everlasting life. God has given us eternal life. And God has given us abundant life. He has given us all things, according to Peter, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, explain to me why you're not happy again. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to decide to be happy. You need to decide that you have the joy of the Lord and that the Lord never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, in light of this, okay, in light of what this says, then let's look at our actions, if you would. In verse number 18, it tells us about our actions. And it says that they do good. Now, that's pretty simple. That they do good. Now, what you concentrate on is not doing evil. Come on. Most of us spent our life trying not to do bad. So what if we stopped right here, took the rest of the time, and let you stand and tell about something good you've done? It'd be a short testimony service. You say, well, you don't know us. No, but I know some of you are straining right now trying to come up with something good you've done. I mean, you are doing your best trying to think of something. Well, but preacher, you don't understand. Yeah, I do understand. This is not about what you hadn't done. This is about what you have done. So what have you done good? Well, I hadn't thrown anything at anybody. No, no, that's not that. You missed it. Well, when preacher nearly had a wreck today, I didn't cuss. You ever ridden with him? Lord, help. Some of you need to. It'd get you right with God. I'll guarantee you that. Why you think Sister Smith stays so close to God? She's not that good a Christian. She just rides around with him all the time. Amen. That's what happens to her. Now, the Bible says we're supposed to do good, okay? That's pretty simple. So you're supposed, that's an action. That's something you are supposed to do. It doesn't stop there. It said that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Now, let me tell you what that means. That means you do a whole lot of good works. Now, you were struggling to come up with one. Come on. And the Bible says you're supposed to be rich in them. You're supposed to have a lot of good works. Now, am I reading what the Word of God says? I'm just saying what this says. And it says be rich in good works. That means you're supposed to do a lot of good works. Well, preacher, I'm a Baptist. I didn't even think we believed in good works. Yeah, I know. Most of us don't, amen. But we're supposed to, aren't we? That we be rich in good works. Now look at the next two. Boy, you really like those. Ready to distribute. Man, isn't that something? Ready to distribute. You know what somebody who distributes something? That means you're giving it out. Are you ready to distribute? Willing to communicate. You know what that word communicate is? We use this. That's the word share. Willing to share. Most of us are not willing to share. Most of us are not interested in sharing. Amen. We're like the little boy I was pastoring there in Batesville, and our little David was about 18 months old, and one of the fellows on my staff had adopted a little boy about the same age. His name was Jason. And Jason was a chunky little dude. I mean, boy, he was just looked like a little wrestler even at 18 months old. And I heard some noise coming out of the nursery. And I noticed the nursery director had just walked out. It was for church and choir practice was going on. And I'd walked up there and I noticed she walked out to do something. And in just a few minutes, I heard some noise coming. And I walked there to the nursery door and looked, and all the toys in the nursery were piled up in one corner. I mean, all of them. And Jason was standing in front of him, three or four other kids in front of him. He had his arms folded, and he was saying, mine, mine. He wasn't ready to share. He wasn't ready to distribute. I thought that boy will be a deacon, first thing you know, amen. Do you know that's the way our nature is, isn't it? Come on. I mean, our nature is to be selfish. And even those that have dealt with selfishness, we're still self-centered, aren't we? Did you know there are people in this church, please don't be offended by this, people in this church think this is the only thing going on in the world. Now, this is a good church, and thank God for it, and I thank God for what you do, but I don't mean this unkind, but if y'all are all God's got, we're in a mess. Amen. Did you know there are other people all over the world that are preaching the gospel? Amen. Other people that love Jesus? Amen. Other people that are trying to do right? Amen. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not all white. They don't all speak English. Nearly all of them eat rice. God help them. I'm telling you, you can get tired of rice. I grew up on rice, but you can get tired of it. Three meals a day, I mean, it's enough. You know why they eat it? Because it's the cheapest thing they can get. Amen. Now, here's our actions that are very easy for us to understand. Let's look at the last one. Let me get through with this, okay? Look at our giving. Now, we've talked about our attitude, our trust, our joy, our actions. Now, let's look at our giving, okay? It says very, very clearly here in verse number 19, laying up in store for themselves. Now, is that what yours says? Laying up in store for themselves. Now, I don't know whether you understand that or not, but that means you get something out of it. See, you know what we do? We look at giving, and please don't misunderstand. Stewardship conferences, mission conferences, they will always help the churches income. They will always help the receipts of the church. But I personally would not want to travel and preach stewardship and mission conference, all that kind of stuff, just to raise money for the church. Amen. See, you're the one that gets the benefit. I'm the one that gets the benefit. We're laying up for ourselves. Now, I don't mind going to church if I do it sometimes. Preacher will say, hey, we're going to have a fundraising. Want you to come and preach. And I say, that's fine. You tell your people it's a fundraising. Amen. What we're doing this week is not a fundraiser. What we're doing this week is teaching on stewardship that will benefit you. Now, will it benefit the church? Sure, it'll benefit the church. But you are the primary beneficiary if you practice what the Word of God says. Because you are laying up for yourselves treasure. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew, then you find the same thing. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 20. And he talks there about laying up for yourselves. You go to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, and down about verse number 30. And there he talks about, boy, that's where he talks about that hundredfold thing. It's where he talks about in this life. You say, well, you don't believe that, do you? Oh, yeah, I believe that. I believe what the Word of God says. I believe give and it shall be given unto you. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you have? What kind of need do you have? Whatever kind of needs you have, that's what you ought to be giving. Amen. If you need understanding, you need to be understanding. Would you like for folks to be patient with you? Then you need to be patient with people. Come on. See, here's what you and I want to do. We want to sow criticism and backbiting and anger, and then we want to reap joy and peace and understanding. And that doesn't work any more than the preacher going out and his garden and planting okra and expecting it to come up watermelons. Doesn't do that. And by the way, I don't mean it's unkind again, but he can pray all he wants to, and that okra seed is not changing to watermelon seed. And you and I have to sow what we want to come up. Understand it? Okay. Now, do you understand that stewardship is to benefit you? You are the primary beneficiary when you begin to practice what the Word of God said that you're supposed to practice. Pretty simple, isn't it? So you that are rich in this world's goods, that's you folks. You that are rich in this world's goods gives you instructions what you're supposed to do. That's enough. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for the time this evening. Bless the remainder of the service. Bless the preaching. Bless the music. Bless everything that will take place now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.